Welcome to another episode of the Tuck Shop Podcast. I'm Matt Cernell, coming to you live today, at least for the first part of this episode. Back on campus, spring break is over. David, I survived spring break.
There you go. And it's is unbroken again.
Yeah. Just for those who are not local, it is under 30 degrees and snowing here the week after spring break. So pretty standard. But on the other hand, we're recording on the 19th of March. So yeah, you can't be too upset, I guess. How was you? It's been a couple weeks since we've been able to schedule this and get you actually on the show. How have you been?
I was out Janusacking around, I guess.
Was that?
we'll leave it at that. But it's good to be back. Regardless of the temperature or the weather, it's always it's a good place to be at UPJ.
Just it is. Leave it at that. Well, we got a couple of things going on that I think you wanted to kind of bring up before we get to our guest. Just to kind of tease our guest, very great interview with a fairly recent alum that I did with a big time split because he's deployed active duty in Japan. So we just did it a day or so back, but I wasn't going to wake you up at 8 in the morning on Sunday morning to help us record.
Okay, so let me talk about some other things that are on the menu, so to speak, as a transition. I'm kind of busy here with some things. As spring gets closer, events seem to become a little bit more ample. But before spring, I guess it will be spring, but we will be welcoming a couple of graduates and a speaker here on campus next Tuesday, March 26th at 7 o'clock at the Pascarella Performing Arts Center. Excuse me, an evening with Gregory Robinson. Gregory Robinson is the former director of the James Webb Space Telescope. Mr. Robinson also has a lot of different accolades. It's just kind of a neat series because it's talking about space from its infancy to today. Mr. Robinson has retired from NASA after 33 years. He's recognized as Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in 2022. He also was Time Magazine, a Time 100 Impact Award. Gotten some awards, Distinguished Presidential Rank Award in 2022, and the NASA Presidential Distinguished Executive Rank Award in 2023, and the Presidential Meteorist Executive Rank Award in 2007. So a lot of awards, a lot of good topics I'm sure he'll cover. Also, equally excited about a couple of the other guest speakers. If you're a regular listener to the Tuck Shop here, Don Freeburn, class of 63, with a degree in mechanical engineering, will also be speaking. You know, if you listen to the podcast, Don was with NASA for 45 years between NASA and the DOE. He also worked on everything from the manned space program in Houston to Skylab to the space shuttles. Joining him will also be another engineer, Andrew Hovanek, class of 58 chemical engineer. He has amassed a 33-year career with NASA, mostly with the Goddard Space Center down in Maryland. So it's an interesting panel. A lot of good information. If you have a lot of good questions, I know these guys are pretty approachable and really fun to talk with. So that's one big thing that's coming up. I know that also, as we're a little bit closer to spring, which is here sooner than you think, May 31st. I know Matt might have mentioned it before, but bringing back the Alumni Association golf outing. And, you know, this is real important because this helps fund our scholarship program. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're giving out 13.
We're giving, but part of the neat thing is that this week on Friday, we are very excited to give out 8 scholarships to deserving students who are in their finishing up their junior year or they're heading into their final year of study here to help give them that last boost in. So we're getting to honor 8 students across 5 of our divisions at the same time. So it's really a neat thing, and that's 100% doable because of people who attend events like the golf tournament and the Mountain Cat tournament, right, as well as just donating straight to scholarships.
Sure. And that's, I mean, that's important. That's before we get any further. That's May 31st at Wimber Country Club. But, you know, that scholarship is unique in the form that, you know, I often said, you bump into people and you ask them, did you go to college? And they say, yeah, I made it, you know, 2/3 of the way through. My final year, I quit and I needed 10 credits or 5 credits or, you know, whatever, half a semester. This Alumni Association scholarship helps people that are at that last year that, you know, like Matt said, if it's the boost they needed to get to the end, it's their considerable amounts that are awarded to each student. And it's neat because they're juniors. We get to see them here in their final year, hopefully that they make it through with little help from those of you that help the Alumni Association. I will mention also, that's May 31st. Following that May 31st, June 1st, is our all Greek, reunion. Registration is open. This is kind of unique in that we're set it up that you can actually stay as, let me also mention, if you come into golf and you kind of worn yourself out, you want to stay on campus and drive home Saturday, we will have that opportunity to stay on campus. Also, the all Greek reunion will be an on-campus reunion. That you're able to check in on Friday and check out on Sunday. Some of the events, we'll do a mimosa brunch, always popular on that Saturday, followed by tours of campus, a lot of Greek activities also going on, and then follow it up with an old-fashioned kind of outside dinner. Links for each of these events are going to be in the description below. I'm not going to rattle off a bunch of
web domains and that kind of stuff. Yep. Yeah, everything will be down below. So in your podcatcher of choice, whether you're watching, listening on the webpage, or if you're hopefully downloading and subscribing across the board on all your apps, whether it's your Apple Podcast app or your Spotify app or your Podcast 2.0 app, doesn't matter. Bring it down. But at the bottom in the description will be links to each of these events and registrations for all three, so you can hopefully attend all three.
Yeah, and if you don't want to go to the links, you know, keep an eye on our Facebook and our LinkedIn pages for the Alumni Association. That's your one-stop source for everything alum going on here.
I'm real excited. There's a lot of cool things going on. It's kind of like that, like you said, that push for spring. Everything's kind of exciting, and certainly, the engineering stuff with. Especially with Don Freeburn, who, yeah, like you mentioned, if you are curious and want to hear a little bit of a preview, several episodes back, Don was gracious enough with his time and came and sat with us and told some really interesting stories about kind of the pioneer days of space flight. So, again, keep an eye on those links down below,
yep,
and we'll go from there. Well, I think we're going to hit the button and we're going to run our interview with Joe Edian from the United States Marine Corps, currently stationed in Japan. Today's a great interview here for us on the podcast, our first very long distance interview. Joe Edian is coming to us. We're recording live. Joe, tell the fans and the folks who are listening where you actually are right now.
So I am in Iwakuni, Japan, which for everyone in the audience, that's about an hour south of Hiroshima if you take it by train, or an hour and a half if you drive. So it's on the southern part of Japan, maybe like 2.5 hours south of Tokyo. So I'm in an air base there called Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, Japan.
So certainly a lot farther from some of the folks that we've had on the show that have potentially walked across campus. But thanks for taking some time. We were talking a little bit before we started recording. You have a 14-hour time difference from us. So you're wrapping your day up while I'm getting mine going. But it is...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so what's the future like?
Doing good. So I'll be stationed here for another about 2.5 years. And then wherever the Marine Corps wants to send me next, they'll send me there. I won't know till about 2.5 years from now. So,
oh, okay. I was making the joke of what is 14 hours from now like?
Oh, gotcha. My bad.
There you go. See, you haven't worked with me in a long time. You're out of practice. Joe, you're an alum, but What was your education process like? Like, what once you left school, and for those who wouldn't know, because short of your family that would be listening to this, they wouldn't. I've known you 15 years now, probably.
Yeah.
Once you left high school, what was your education process like that eventually led you to UPJ?
So I originally got started at Penn Highlands, going for a professional pilot's degree. And I did that for about 6 months. And then I started talking to a recruiter for the Marine Corps because I kind of got the itch to kind of do what my dad did. I wanted to serve. And so I wanted to serve, but I also wanted to do – I wanted to get my college done because my dad was a big advocate for higher education. So we kind of compromised on, well, you can join the Marine Corps, but I would like you to do the reserves because then you can, you know, come back, get your education done, and then continue to, you know, serve. So I agreed with that. And so I went off and got a contract as a military police officer out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Went to all of my active duty training, so Marine Corps boot camp, Marine Corps combat training, and then for my MOS school, military occupational specialty of military police. I was there for about 3 months, and then I came back, enrolled at University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown after that, and spent about three and a half years getting my business management degree while I was there. So a little bit different path than most, but it was definitely worth it.
It certainly is a slightly different path than although I would assume that it's not necessarily super unique to those many of our alumni who've come through and were and have served or are serving, kind of had to balance that their obligations and requirements of duty with the education part of it. But you talked about pilot school. What made you want to fly? And I ask you as somebody who's terrified of flying.
So I don't know what exactly it was. Maybe I was a kid and I saw, I was always big into like history. So reading about World War II and kind of watching the videos on the History Channel when they actually, you know, had History Channel shows that were, you know, talking about history, I would, watch those and see airplanes like the P-51 Mustang, B-17, B-24. I was always like, man, that'd be really cool to go, like, be one of those guys to go fly those planes. And when I was graduating high school, my dad and my stepmom got me a gift of a 2-hour flight demonstration, go up into a, you know, Cessna 172 and, you know, just kind of fly around with an instructor. And I got to do that for the first time and got to actually fly. And, like, I just got hooked on it. I was like, man, I want to do this. I want to be the guy who like gets in the plane and flies it around. And, you know, if something goes wrong, I get to like, you know, fix it or, you know, get to, you know, resolve whatever that emergency is and land it on the ground safely and everyone gets to walk away. And, you know, it's just kind of stuck since then. And I get to still do that now just with a little bit bigger plane and a little bit more people on it. So it's definitely exciting.
When you talk about bigger plane, how big are we talking? Don't divulge any national security secrets on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get fired, so I'm not going to do that. But so the first plane I flew was the Cessna 172, and you know you probably see those flying outside your house. But now I fly a C-130, which has got a wingspan of about 140 feet wide. It's got four engines on it. Consists of about 5 crew, 2 pilots, 1 flight engineer, and then 2 loadmasters in the back. We can carry a max of about 80 combat loaded Marines, or we can carry 3 or 4 up armored Humvees. We can carry a HIMARS, which is essentially like a rocket launcher system that it's like a mobile one. They can drive it onto the back and they can drive it off. It's pretty neat. But yeah, definitely a little bit bigger, flies a little bit faster now. So yeah, definitely exciting. But the Marine Corps, when they send you through all of the training to do flying, essentially you start with like a single engine plane, so like a Cessna, and then you fly to something a little bit bigger. and then you fly like a dual engine plane, and then you go and then you fly like whatever the Marine Corps sends you to go fly after that.
The and this is gonna be a probably a no-brainer question. More challenging. And remember, I am in the business and enterprise division as an adjunct faculty member. Education projects at Pitt, at UPJ, Marine Corps training.
I would have to say that
There was
the
less
Marine
running
Corps
at UPJ.
training Yeah, I would have to say the Marine Corps training was a little bit more intense. But the education that I got at UPJ kind of stimulated your mind a little bit more, like in different ways. Which was the nice thing about going to college, because like I had experienced like what the Marine Corps taught me for, how to fire a rifle and dig a fighting position, and how to conduct a complex ambush. And then like going to University of Pittsburgh, it's like, oh well, we're not going to teach you how to do that stuff, but we're going to teach like the
No.
same techniques that you learned to like think through a problem, and you're going to apply it to a different set at this point. So instead of like how to conduct an ambush on a convoy, we're going to teach you how to, build a business plan to start a coffee company. So that's what I really enjoyed about it, because I could take my skills that I learned in the Marine Corps and apply them in a different way to a new problem set.
Just to give people a mindset or a time frame here. Your graduation year.
So I graduated April of 2016,
Okay.
and
So it fairly recent alum. What drew you to the business side of all the programs that are offered at UPJ?
So the business side of it, I liked the flexibility that it gave me, the ability to, like, there's many different types of businesses out there. Like you have, I guess it would just be the ability to apply the analytical skills that the degree that I got taught me to different problem sets. It wasn't like you would come in and it'll always be like, well, I'm doing the same thing every day, or it's like for some things you would have like, well, I want to learn how to be like a cook or a baker or a plumber. It's like you go in and you do that specific job every day. But at least with business management, with my degree, I could go in and say, hey, I want to teach this, or I want to help this business get off the ground. So I'm going to, help design a business plan for them. But now this completely different business over there that has nothing to do with, plumbing, I can, do that the next day. So I like the adaptability and flexibility it gave me. And that's kind of why I picked business management over like some of the other degrees at University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown.
We'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that happened with you on campus. Not in a bad way. There was no. I mean, there's some cool stories and
Yeah.
stuff. But one thing that I think is an interesting knowing part of the story in the background, you talked about, you hit on it very briefly, the idea of your family background with military service. And for you, that isn't one generation. Because I know your next the generation behind you, having worked with your dad for years and years and being retired Marine, but you go back, how far back in that family lineage do you go with service to the United States?
So from what we can track back is that we originally came over here in like 1775, with General Lafayette and 10,000 French volunteers to fight the British. So we can track it back as far as that. And then I know we served in the Civil War with Isaac Etienne, which is where my middle name comes from. And we have my uncle still has his discharge papers for Isaac Etienne sitting in his study. And then I know my great uncle served in World War II in Korea, and Obviously my dad served and his grandfather or his father served as well. So a long history of tradition of serving in my family.
So you came to it from a very long lineage.
Yes, it's weird to think about it like that, where it's like, oh, it's kind of the family business at this point. We all have some at one point have served.
And Corps attracted the Marine Corps attracted to was attractive to you because of that family connection with your dad?
Yeah, so it was a mixture of, well, my dad has done this and like what drew him to the Marine Corps because he was in the Army prior to being in the Marine Corps for a short amount of time. And then the aspect of challenge to it of, this is probably one of the most difficult things that I'm going to do in my life, and being able to see if I can like rise to that challenge and exceed it was exciting for me, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go into the Marine Corps.
Part of that goes with is the requirement with education and the degree you had received. What stood out outside of your program as something neat that you got to learn about at UPJ? Did anything else class-wise, like, wow, I'm really glad I took, or that was very helpful to take a English literature course, or you took my astronomy course, but that wasn't it. That was across the street. That wasn't at UPJ. So I can't, you don't have to be, you aren't obligated to say that I was your favorite faculty member because I didn't have you as a faculty member at UPJ. But did something like that click? And you think about, wow, I'm really glad I had that chance.
Yeah, so I guess one of the classes that I can remember that clicked a lot was the, I think it was called intercultural communications or interpersonal communications, if I remember the name of the class right. But essentially, it was talking about how like different cultures communicate differently, even in just like there's a lot of subtext in a conversation that if you're not like in that culture, you can miss just because you don't have those experiences and the same values as some of the other cultures that would pick, some of that subtext stuff. And just like being able to like have someone talk about that and like show examples of it and like kind of helped me understand like business better and like how taking like my skill set and moving it into another country or I mean even into a different part of the in the US like going from East Coast to West Coast could have like a dramatic difference, like how I should speak to someone or what I should be able to put as like an advertising campaign. Or I mean, even in my current circumstance where like I'm in Japan, completely different set of culture and value and completely different language. And then just being able to have that experience to fall back on of like, okay, there's a conversation going on. I'm hearing about 50% of it, but there's a whole bunch of subtext happening underneath of it that I'm not necessarily understanding, but like being able to look out for that was definitely very interesting. That, totally outside of, the business management degree. It was like one of the, I think, general education classes or general education curriculum I had to take. I thought that was probably one of the most interesting ones, other than the class I took with you.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, thank you. That helps me on an early morning here in on the East Coast. How is that? Have you, because you've now spent better part of what did, and forgive me if you had said so, what, 6 months, 8 months now in Japan?
Yeah, about 8 months. 8 months in Japan.
Is it, are you picking up more of the language and or not as much?
So I'm picking up like some phrases and some bits and pieces of it. It's a little bit difficult because like part of it is just interacting with people who speak the language. And like at work, I don't really do that because we're in a squadron with
You're on the
400
base
Marines.
and
Plus, yeah, we're on the base. So like when we'll go out in town, we'll speak the language a little bit, but it's usually just kind of like, thank you, good morning, Yes, no. Like it's the real basic stuff. Like kind of like when you're teaching a kid how to talk, you teach them all this basic stuff, and then they build up on it. So I'm really just like in the beginner phase of like, all right, I can say sorry and excuse me and like no thank you, like those kind of things. But I still haven't like I'm not fluent in it by any means.
When you think back at your time at UPJ, and if you don't want to, if it's something that is a quiet thing, that's fine. We can not get into it. But I think one of the neatest things I've ever seen on campus is your graduation day.
Oh yeah, when the
What if you don't
major.
mind talking, if you don't want, that's fine. I don't want to put you in a spot there. But I think that's probably one of the neatest things I ever got to see on campus in my 30 plus years on campus.
Yeah, so the my graduation day was really cool because the how it worked is when you get your I had already gone through officer candidate school the year prior. So like during the summer I went to officer candidate school for 10 weeks at Quantico, Virginia. Successfully completed it. And at that point, I was waiting for my commission. And one of the requirements is the 4-year degree. So once I got that and I said, I want to accept my commission, my officer selection officer was said, okay, well, I can come to your campus the day of your graduation and I can swear you in. And read you your oath of essentially your oath of office, your commission. And so I had my dress blues on, the officer dress blues that my dad had. I fit into them and he passed those along to me because they're still in like within our regulation. And so the major, the officer selection officer said, like, here's your 4-year, here's your degree, here's your commission in the Marine Corps. Who do you want to have commission you? And because my dad is still a commissioned officer, even though he's retired, he's still on the rolls of the officer list. He was able to read my commission, swear me into the Marine Corps, into the U.S. as a commissioned officer, and then sign my commission warrant, which is actually still on the rolls inside of my like officer. My official, I can't remember what it's OMPF, official military personnel file. And it still has his signature on it, signed as Major Etienne 04, which is pretty cool. And then the enlisted person that was there, the staff sergeant, since he was the first person to give me a salute, it's tradition to give the first person who gave you a salute as an officer a silver dollar to show that, like, hey, I appreciate that you gave me my first salute. And it's a sign of respect that, like, it's that, like, even though you're not an officer, you have just as much of a difficult job as I do. And I respect that. And this is my, like, physical, like, token of appreciation of that. So it was, for me, it was one of the coolest days that I've experienced as an officer so far.
Excuse me. And one of the neat things was that actually happened right there at the flagpole in between Krebs and Biddle.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean,
Great
and
fight.
it was very, and I was, I always will remember that as one of the neatest things, and that you guys invited me to come up and see that. That was a very special thing to see on campus.
Yeah, it was really cool. Especially like sitting there with the mountain lion in the back and like having all the place I ran around for 3 years trying to get my education done, just all in the background. It was really cool.
Last question. What happens when you get to the point and you are going to outrank your dad? How's he going to handle it? Knowing you'll listen to this episode.
I don't know on that one. That'll be an interesting one if I get that far. But yeah, that'll be I don't know how you'll take that one, but you'll probably just, demean and degrade me as good natured officers do to each other, just some gentle ribbing there. But yeah, that'll be fun though. It'll be interesting to see what he does with that one. So I'll just have to let him salute me a couple times for him to get used to it.
There you go. That'll be a fun Christmas.
Oh, absolutely.
Joe Edian, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to get on and talk to us here on the Tuck Shop Podcast. We very much appreciate your time and certainly the work that you're doing here for us over in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Invite me back on anytime if you want me to.
We will. Don't worry. We'll gladly have you back on. This will be fantastic. We'll get you live on the. Can we? We'll work out something and we'll get you flying. That'll be really. Oh, that'll be fantastic. I'm sure that'll go over well.
Yeah.
Joe, again, thank you.
Anytime.
The Tuck Shop Podcast is recorded live on the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown campus. Update your contact information with us by visiting johnstown.pitt.edu/alumni. Connect with us online via Facebook and LinkedIn, or consider donating to the university at giveto.pitt.edu/giveupj.
This has been a production of Quantum Wave Media. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown.